Audio Now.
Hello Holly, the podcast about interior, trends, and friends.
Hi, I'm Holly Becker from the interior blog Decorate. I'm an author, a stylist, and I have my own magazine called Holly, and now my new podcast about interior, zeitgeist, and friendship. Are you ready?
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Hello Holly. I'm Holly Becker, and I'm so happy that you're listening today because I want to talk about how to make your house feel like a home. A lot of people ask me how to make a home look good, and they're interested in making it just amazing, but few of them think to ask me how to make a home feel good because it's assumed that if the house looks great, it's just going to naturally feel great. But this isn't the case, really. It's exactly why people create their dream house and then they step back and look at it and feel like something is missing. Or they get all of their dream pieces in their apartment, but the apartment still feels cold and unwelcoming. Well, hello, I'm Dr. Holly, and I'm going to fix that today on our episode of Hello Holly. Okay, so how to inject that certain something special? That's the question of the day. You want to walk in and your home feels like a warm hug versus a cold hello. Whether you've lived in your house for years or you just moved in, it can be hard to give it that homey vibe. That's one thing I think our grandparents did so well. Even my parents, home felt homey. There was a specific vibe when I entered my home or my grandparents' farmhouse or my other grandparents who lived in the Midwest. I can't say that I loved how they decorated. I really can't say that and be honest. But I remember once when I was in my early 20s, I actually was in my grandparents' house in Rhode Island. They lived on a big farm and I sat in their home. And I looked around and I thought about it. I thought, what is it about this home that I love so much? And I was like, I don't know, 19, 20 years old. And I just remember thinking, what's with this house? Why do I love it so much? Because I didn't really like how it looked. What makes an eclectic home packed with tchotchkes and mismatched furniture work? Well, we hear a lot that the secret to making a house a home is all about finding your personal style. And to a degree, yeah, that's true. You need to tap into your essence because that really helps. It won't automatically make your home feel cozy and amazing the way you dream and wish it to be, though. So what's the secret sauce here to make your home look like you, but feel like grandma's? Well, 20 years ago, I thought about it, like I said, and I was in the living room one night in the home of my grandparents. I just came to some conclusions there. And when I really think about it, those conclusions I came to so long ago are definitely worth sharing in this episode because I think back then my young mind nailed it. I was on to something. So let's start by first saying that yes, we all know your family makes your house a home, your pets, finding your personal style, then decorating it to suit your taste definitely are a great start. That's the real foundation here, guys, right? But there's more. It's called layering. And here are some ways to make your house feel like a home. I think I have four or five of them, so let's just roll with it here. The first thing that I came to a conclusion very young that day in my grandparents' home that I still believe today is that smell contributes to making your house feel like a home. My grandmother's bedroom always smelled like a mix of her favorite perfumes, which were all laid out so nicely on her mirrored perfume tray. You remember mirrored perfume trays, right, guys? Her bathroom smelled like a mix of baby powder and either jasmine or lily of the valley, which grew outside of her windows. Her living room smelled like fresh country air because she always had the door open to the outside, and she lived in a farmhouse from the late 1800s on nearly 200 acres of land near the Rhode Island coast. The air was a mix of woody and sea salt. I loved it. Her kitchen smelled a lot like food. It smelled like bread and pie. She loved to braid homemade breads. This was like her specialty. They were so pretty and they smelled amazing. She also made delicious handmade pasta. She made Polish specialties because she was Polish, like pierogi, gołąbki, kiełbasa. She made these yummy potato pancakes with onions and sour cream. She loved to make roast and apple and peach pie. It just smelled good. When I walked into her home, I smelled more than just food. I smelled life. It wasn't a hotel room or a resort with some pretend scents being pumped into the room. The rooms had energy, life, love, and it could all be experienced with your eyes shut, just through your nose, which makes me think that even if you want to make your house feel like a home in 5 seconds, you can just cook. Cook regularly, even if it's just pancakes, baked apples with cinnamon on top, hot mulled spice wine in the winter on your stove. Make some popcorn. Bake some cookies now and then. These smells bring in a feeling of nostalgia, of happiness, of joy, and just make the home smell like a home. You can also grow fragrant flowers near your windows and window boxes or on the balcony so that they fill your home naturally when a breeze carries in their scent. You can bring in plants to clean the air, and of course, fresh flowers too. I love lilies. They smell so fragrant and beautiful in my home. Scented candles and oils are nice, even incense. But with those, I just think you've really got to look for quality and be careful because not all candles are created equal. I honestly am not a big fan of scented candles that overpower the room. In other words, you walk in and all you can smell is that candle sitting there staring at you. It puts you into this intoxicated gaze because it's so strong. It's like drugs. I'm not into those because I think those candles can cover up a multitude of other smells. And sometimes that's good. And sometimes it's actually bad because then you can't really smell anything else in your house. And it kind of loses that feeling of authenticity and just becomes one particular smell. Every room smells like vanilla or, I don't know, fresh cotton. It doesn't smell like you and your home and your perfumes and the flowers and all the things that you probably have that layer in this particular smell that people love that becomes kind of your signature scent. So when someone walks in your house, they're like, oh, I love the smell. Your home always smells like you. It just smells great. Or do they walk in your house and say, oh yeah, I love that smell. That's such and such candle. I have that too. It smells just like my house. Your house smells like my house. Well, that's boring, right? So sometimes you have to think about the scented candles that you use. Try to find some that are maybe very original or different that not everyone has. Also look for the best quality and be careful, like I said, because not all candles are particularly good for you. So try to think of the ones that you can bring in that are actually good for you. I love beeswax candles. They may not look so trendy, but they make the air smell so nice with this warm scented honey. And they actually burn cleaner than others with no sticky black petroleum-based soot. They also last longer and create a warm, cozy ambiance with their warm amber glow. And okay, I know this may sound silly, but open the windows every day, even on the coldest days. It's a really big thing in German life and culture. I thought it was crazy when I first relocated to Germany and my husband would open the windows in the middle of winter. I was like, what is going on? And he was like, what are you talking about? It's a window. I'm opening it. And I'm thinking, it's snowing outside. Why are the windows open? I'm not paying to heat the outside. I'm paying to heat the inside. And that's actually what I used to tell him. And he was like, oh God, you're so American. But it's actually true. Americans don't think about opening their windows in the middle of winter, like, you know, just to air out the house, unless they've burnt some food. But it's business as usual in Germany when it's the dead of winter to open your windows every day, not the whole day, but maybe several hours. You know, after living here for a while, it started to become my thing too. And now it's a ritual. I open my windows every single day, no matter what the temperature, no matter what it's doing out there. It could be raining, snowing, rainbowing, whatever it's doing. But I have my windows open at least a few hours here and there because it makes the space feel cleaner. It helps lift the mood in my home. And it even actually helps me to breathe better because we live on a forest and there's nothing like forest air. Also, I wanted to give you a tip because I'm all into the home smelling good. I love when the home smells good. It's like when someone walks into my house and says, Holly, your house smells awesome. I'm like, oh my God, I love you, marry me. Cause it just, to me, it's one of those things that I just love. I like it so much that I actually do all these little things around my house to make it smell good. I have like, you know, in this room, a particular smell, and in that room, something else I use, and here and there. But you can actually do something really quick and easy. You can fill like an eco-friendly coffee filter, you know, those brown, ugly ones. You can fill it with baking soda and then add about 6 drops of essential oil. So you can mix, you can match, you can do your own thing. You can buy just one, whatever. And then you tie it and you shake it and move it around with your thumbs a bit. And you put it in a drawer or you hang it in the closet. And I mean, you can go wild here. You can make lots of these little baggy things and hang them around and put them here and there. And it actually really contributes to the home smelling better. And when you open your drawers and you pull out your nightgown or whatever, it just, everything smells better. So definitely smell is a huge thing when it comes to making your house a home. Now, we were talking a little bit about beeswax candles and this warm amber glow that they put off, which brings me now to actually my next point is lighting. Oh yeah, lighting. You know, back when I was little, warm light was much more common in homes. Lampshades that were cream colored or had orange tones, or glass pendants that were brown or orange, you know, 80s colors. My grandparents never had bright white lamps and shades and cool light temperatures in their bedroom or living room. It was all very warm. So let me explain light temperature in case you think I'm crazy or you don't know what I'm talking about. Color temperature means that basically what you think it means. It's an indicator of how warm or cool a light is, which depends on heat. It may seem counterintuitive, but the hotter a light source, the cooler the color temperature. So lights with temperatures at like around 5,000 or more Kelvin will appear bluish, while temperatures around 2,500 to 3,000 Kelvin will have a yellow or orange tinge, which is most likely the exact temperature that most lights or most light bulbs were before the 1990s. In other words, why grandma's house felt so warm and cozy at night. The lighting, whether cool or warm, has significant impact on how a room looks and feels. Warmer hues are cozy and relaxing. Cooler light temperatures help you to concentrate and be more productive and alert. That's why you adjust light to fit the function of each room in your home. So maybe you have cool in the kitchen, warm in the bedroom, cool in the bathroom, mixed with maybe some warm around the mirror. For instance, through ambient backlit mirrors with LED backlighting, which exudes ambient light. So that can give you a choice of either warm white or daylight cool white, depending on what you need the mirror for. Applying cosmetics to go out for a night on the town or deep cleaning your skin requires two different light temperatures in order to accomplish what you need. So yes, lighting temperature is important to making a house a home and also for it to function better. Have you ever been to someone's house and the dining room felt like a cafeteria at night instead of a cozy spot to dine? I'll never forget my friend who had a dining room. It was so beautiful. And I went over there to eat one night and she put on all the lights and it was like we were in surgery. I couldn't believe it. And she didn't even notice. She was like, oh yeah, let's eat, la la la. And I'm thinking, shut the lights off and put some candles on this table because this is ruining my vibe. Of course, I didn't say that to her and I ate dinner and we laughed. And after a glass of wine, I didn't know what color the light temperature was anyway. But the point is that light temperature is most likely to blame when your home doesn't feel cozy. So pay attention to it. Another way to make a home feel cozy, like I mentioned already, is to burn candles, but also like hanging twinkle lights over a child's bed. I love twinkle lights. You know, the kind you string up and put on Christmas trees during the holidays. Twinkle lights are nice, especially the nice white or the warm ones. They're sweet. They're nice to add in the child's room. Sometimes you just hang them over a bookcase or a bed and you flick the lights off at night and it's just like this little glow and it just feels so cozy and so nice. You can put night lights around your house too. We actually have these super cool modern ones. They're installed in our hallway because we have a really long hallway with motion sensors. So you can always see where you're going at night, which is really nice. It kind of also gives this cool vibe because it's very cozy, because you feel safe and secure and not like you're going to kill yourself in the middle of the night in the hallway. Also, when it comes to lighting, try to have, and I always tell people this and they're like, wow, oh my gosh, you just solved all my lighting problems. And I thought, huh? I thought everyone knew this. And people are telling me, no, actually, that's a really easy and good tip that I never knew. So I'm going to tell you the award-winning tip of the day when it comes to lighting. Okay. Well, I've really built this up. I hope it's as good as planned. Okay. Try to have 5 light sources per room. You're like, Holly, that's not rocket science. Actually, it is. It's rocket decor science. One in each corner or nearest to each corner and one in the center. For instance, maybe spots in the ceiling or pendant. These 5 light sources will balance light out in the evening. So all the areas are lit well, which means it will feel cozier than if you have only 1 lamp and 1 pendant in a room. Because when there's no balance of light at night, part of the space will feel lonely and dark. Oh, that sounds so sad, but it's true. And that is also how you can make a house a home. By little tricks like having the right balance of light, the right temperature, yada, 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 it really can make a difference. Now let's talk about sound. Yeah, sound, like you're thinking, what does that have to do with anything? Well, this is something else that I learned from grandma and from my mother, who always had their house feeling like a home. They always played music. They always had the TV on. Well, my mother not. She didn't even like the TV, but my grandmother always had TV on, always playing music, and she even played instruments. She played the guitar and the accordion, and she was amazing. I remember sitting down on her sofa, and she and my grandfather would play the accordion for a half hour, an hour, and then she'd get out her guitar and like just start singing and strumming away these amazing songs. And I remember sitting there with my jaw dropped the first time I ever saw them do this. And suddenly my old elderly grandparents were hip and cool. But the fact is that music, when played in the home, whether by you, your kid, on the radio, record player, which is lovely, such a beautiful sound to have music on a record player. I don't know why. Nostalgia. The TV on in the background, which I know it sounds sort of stupid, but let me go with this here. I'll get to my point. All of this can create such a nice home energy, such a nice vibe. My mother and my grandmother loved to listen to the radio too. My grandmother loved to listen to music from the 1940s and 50s, and she always had the news on. She had The Late Show with Johnny Carson. I remember she had old Lawrence Welk reruns. Do you guys even know what Lawrence Welk is? I barely did, but through my grandmother, I learned. He was like a guy who predates Johnny Carson, I guess, and had a show, and it was really cool in its time, and they had live music, and it was something my grandmother loved. Having the TV on while she cooked was a big thing, too, and I always thought, what's wrong with my grandmother? She always has the TV on, and she's not even in the living room. She's cooking. And I asked her one day, I said, why do you have the TV on, Grandma? You're not even in the room. And she says, she liked the sound of distant voices in the room and in the house. It reminded her of her childhood. She grew up in a big home, lots of kids in Chicago. Her parents were immigrants. And it just reminded her of all of this energy and noise that she was around when she was a child. And it makes a lot of sense. My mother also loved to sing and was always playing music too. She loved George Michael, of all people, and Lou Rawls and Jeffrey Osborne, Elton John. But she also played a lot of classical and a style of music that was native to our region in South Carolina, where I grew up, which was called beach music, which was like a lot of classic hits. Music was a big part of my life growing up because of them. And I remember how the mood instantly changed in our home the moment the radio went on. Everything and everyone was instantly feeling good and vibes were positive. I remember when my mother cleaned the house, she played the radio loud and sang along to the songs. And at the time, yeah, okay, it was kind of annoying. But, you know, a home has sound. And now when I look back, that actually gives me great memories of my life and my childhood. Modern tech stuff is actually pretty quiet. Have you noticed? It's like always the goal of technology to make it quiet. No one can hear the dryer. No one wants to hear your hair dryer. No one's interested in hearing the microwave or the teapot. Everything is quiet. Modern tech stuff is pretty quiet. You know, I remember when I used to hear the tea kettle whistling when it was ready, the coffee maker perking, the fan humming, the hair dryer when my mother was fixing her hair, the washing machine spinning like hell really loud, the sound of my father doing the dishes by hand, clink, clink, clink. I always remember the sounds of my parakeet calling for me when he was hungry, the cats meowing for food or attention, like cats do, the dogs barking, well, for no reason at all, because that's what dogs do, the sounds of life. Too much quiet and the home starts to feel creepy and cold. Play some music. Let yourself live. Throw a few pets into the mix. Have a child, or if you don't have a child, borrow one. They'll fill your home with sound in 5 seconds, like I'm living with a six-year-old, and it's always noisy in my house. And I say that with a smile. But in the end, try to have some sound in your life, because this makes your house a home. It gives such a nice energy, and it just will bring you memories. You'll always think about these little sounds and things that happened in your life when you look back, and that's a great thing. Now let's talk about people. All right, so I said it already. Having your loved ones around make your house a home. We all know that, right? But what about what your grandmother did, or maybe what your mother did? People were always around in their frames, right? I remember going to my grandparents' house and being surrounded by family photos on walls, on ledges, on bookshelves, in books called photo albums. Do you remember those? Nowadays, home looks a bit staged or like a catalog sometimes. Nothing that personal is really around. And as a result, the home can look and feel very impersonal and boring. You don't have to go overboard, but maybe you can add your family and friends around the home in subtle ways. When my son was 8 weeks old, my friend Sanya Pell, who's a stylist and art director, she's working with Elle Decoration in the UK and a bunch of other amazing brands. She flew over from London and she and I were like, okay, let's do something cool with Aiden. And so we did something cool, which was also basic that everyone does. But we wanted to give it a bit of a twist to make it more modern. So we did hand and footprints in child-safe black paint. I just have to say that so I don't get any letters. We used child-safe black paint on white paper, like art paper, though, the thick, chunky, gorgeous paper that you just love to touch. And we did his prints on that paper, and it took maybe a half hour. It wasn't such a long time, but it's such a sweet memory when I think about it. And I put the print up in my home. I put the nicest one up in my home in a nice frame. It's modern and graphic, and it looks very nice. And it's not like, you know, it doesn't have his name on it. It doesn't have dates. It has no writing, actually. It's just 2 feet black on art paper in a nice frame. That's it. So it's very graphic and modern, and it's very nice. And then I had a large photo collage made using loads of photos from my son and my husband, and me with my son, him with my son, us with our son, blah, 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 by a lovely London designer. And she made this massive photo collage for us, and that's on display in my home too. I walk by it each day, and I remember his early years, and I feel so much joy and happiness. In my kitchen, I have photos of my husband and I when we were on a trip in Los Angeles and another of my husband when he was in his 20s. In my dining room, I have a photo of my son and I when he was born in a special frame. And in my home office, I have photos of my friends and my son on the wall near my monitor. This definitely makes my home feel like a home and not like a hotel. It adds love, warmth, and character to have these memories all around me. I may not have 400 photos in frames on my fireplace mantle like my grandparents, but I have exactly enough to give my house a personal touch. Some other tips for making your house a home, other than just using photos, is to display special things in glass cabinets and on shelves, create or buy art that is very personal and special to you. All of these visual things, these objects add personality, life, and beauty to a space, but also create ambiance, warmth, and love. Okay, so I think this is number 5. Fifth tip is when it comes to how to make your house a home, don't buy everything brand new. I know it's definitely something that you can do easier than ever because of places like eBay and online shops and Etsy and flea markets. It's easy now to find pre-loved or vintage things that are actually coveted and beautiful. So don't buy everything brand new. It's a real talent, actually, to be able to shop vintage or pre-loved and find gems. But with some practice, you'll be able to hunt for treasures and bring home pieces that add character and style. My grandparents and mother always loved a good flea market and yard sale. We used to go on Saturday mornings to flea markets, to yard sales, and moving sales at least once a month. My grandfather was obsessed with flea markets. He took me all summer long. Sometimes he had to drag me because I wanted to go to the beach with my friends and I had to go to another flea market in a massive parking lot with my grandpa. But as I observed him shopping, I learned how to haggle. I learned how to get the best price, how to find the best quality, and I just learned how to love a good flea market. They also loved secondhand stores. They'd buy secondhand before buying brand new for many items because they were more affordable. And back then, it's just what most people did who weren't earning a lot of money. They had a good eye. They brought home things that today most of us would love to own. My grandmother had vintage Danish chairs and sofas and mid-century credenzas and pottery from Poland and Mexico. Yeah, it was a crazy mix, but undeniably personal and charming. Making a house a home can be as simple as shopping for vintage vases, mixing those in with your new stuff, rugs maybe from Morocco that are vintage, reupholstering vintage sofas and chairs to make them new again with an older shape or form. Imagine how special and personal your home becomes when no one can buy exactly what you have because you found it vintage, or even more, you found it vintage and had it reupholstered, for instance. You also can add personality and charm to your home and make your house a home through DIY. So you can take things that are already existing and just revamp them, make them better, or you can just make things from scratch. That DIY element definitely adds flair and makes your house a home as well. So we talked about scent, lighting, sound, photos, and displaying special things like mementos and art, and buying vintage and pre-loved. What are some ways that you make your house a home? I'd love to know. You can send me your suggestions via Instagram stories with maybe a photo of your favorite room at home with a tip and tag at Decorate, D-E-C-O-R-8, and at Holly Magazine with no E at the end, so I can see it and possibly share with my audiences there. So, my dear friends and listeners, thank you so much for joining me today for Hello Holly. It was such a pleasure to meet you here, and I love being with you during my podcast biweekly. And remember, if you like this podcast, please tell your friends about it and rate it on iTunes. If you really want to help me keep this podcast going, a written review on iTunes would help me out enormously. See you again soon. And again, this has been Holly Becker. Thanks for listening to Hello Holly. Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more about what drives creatives behind the things we love, follow my podcast. There'll be a new podcast every 2 weeks. Please like the podcast in the Apple Podcast app so more people will find this. And I'd love if you'd share it on Instagram at Holly Magazine. I'd really appreciate it. I'd also love your feedback. Please email me at holly@holly-magazine.de. And you can write to me in English or German. I'm really excited to see what you have to say. And also, if you'd love to be a guest, email me as well. Thank you for listening again and have a nice day.
Audio Now.